What's going on? This is Day, and you are listening to Entropy and Day. Today's episode, I kept trying to figure out if I actually, you know, had enough to talk about with this topic. But again, like, these are pretty short, like, they don't have to be that long. So the focus on this one is control and my relationship with control. And hopefully, if anything, it could give you insight to your relationship with control. But we'll see. It's a beautiful day, or a decent day outside. Hope you all are well today. And yeah, let's get started. So control for me has been a process, to say the least. It's been something I've been working on for a while. I've made significant strides. Like, I can pat myself on the back because I've noticed, like, in situations, like, say if someone's angry, I often try to control those situations. Like, if I feel like anger is being perpetuated towards me, and it's not because of me that someone's angry, they're just kind of like taking it out on me. I often get angry when it comes to that, and that doesn't help the situation at all. So I've found myself more recently, when that happens, analyzing, okay, what's going on, and what causes people to emote that way, where they just have to get it out and they take it out on someone. These are things, you know, you learn as a kid, you know, probably from parents taking out their anger on you, maybe from job environments where, you know, bosses take their anger out, and then you can bring that back to kids and stuff like that. There's always some sort of root that brings you back to your childhood, right? So I can say with me with control, it was always feeling like I didn't really have control as a kid. Things I wanted to do, I wasn't able to do. And then another thing of dealing with other people's anger. I've noticed I've had an issue with responding to people's anger in a way that has had me analyze my own anger. And I've realized I have that issue as well. And it's important to, like, take a beat and reflect on that, because I didn't even really clock it as something like, this is you trying to control the situation, as much as, like, you know, you'll justify it. It's like, no, this person made me angry. This happened, or this person is doing this and taking out on me, and, like, this is, I'm gonna become reactionary to it. I'm not someone who really likes to be reactionary to things, even though it's human nature and I tend to be. I don't really like it. You know, I prefer to assess the situation and develop my own feelings for it. You know, that that happens a lot. Like, even with, like, friendships, sometimes people have beef with each other, and it's like you get caught up in just kind of picking a side, and you're like, what they really arguing about? And it's like, it's literally nothing that's got anything to do with you, and you're kind of dealing with the baggage of it. Or, you know, the example of in the workforce of, like, you know, your boss or coworkers, they feel a way about something, you know, and the way that they're processing it, you find yourself getting defensive. And, you know, that can come into, like, you know, trying to control how people criticize you, trying to control how people operate around you. Things that aren't necessarily out of human nature to think about and want to control, but just not practical for us. You know, a lot of, like, human nature is a lot of growth is understanding that human nature has a lot of impracticalities. And control is one of them. Like, it's only so much we can control, right? Because we're all in here taking up space to some degree. We all want some part of that space to some degree, whether it's a job placement, whether it's a feeling of fulfillment, you know, financial stability and things like that. So when I started to dive into how I responded to these things, it really started to, like, break down the whole wall of what this is. And we all know it, like, you can't control things. You can't control the outcomes of all these things. But what was unique to me is where that shows up. It doesn't just show up in a black and white or a linear space. It's just, it shows up anywhere. You know, your desire to control something can show up anywhere. And this isn't to say relinquish that, like, that idea that you can control anything, because sometimes you need to assume control. And I think that comes with discernment. That's another part, you know, we can get into that later. But I really feel like when we understand what our relationship is, when we're trying to control things, our relationship is with, like, maybe the person, the pattern in which that we try to assume those things, that we have a healthier way of assuming control and relinquishing control, right? So that's been big for me, like, this year, that I want to greatly improve on that. I don't want things to sort of dictate how I respond. And I've dealt with that a lot. Like I said, you know, dealing with chronic pain, dealing with chronic fatigue, you find yourself always having to let go. You know, you can't really have the ego that everyone else has. I wouldn't say be egoless. You know how I am about that. But you have a different relationship with your ego. And you learn to, bringing it back to the first episode, to be still in moments where you may try to push. And I think that's what causes that stagnancy, is trying to control the pace. You can't control the pace all the time. Sometimes you just have to let it flow and let it take its course in order to really see when's the time to pick it back up. And that's something with control. Also feel like with shifting, you know, we talked about that. We touched on allowing things to flow. So I think flow is the biggest thing when it comes to control. Like, what is your relationship with flow? How do you go with the flow? Is it relinquishing all, you know, control? Or is it understanding and discerning that, hey, sometimes I have to be the wave that is like a tidal wave, and sometimes I'm just a cool, gentle shift, like a pendulum swing with the water. I don't know if that makes any sense, but my point with that is just learning the relationship you have with control is probably the biggest thing to absolving those issues you may have with control in itself. I've said control 1,000 times. And with me, for me, it's been eye-opening. It's been reflective. I've been grateful, though. I'm grateful all the time when I learn something that's hard for me to learn. Control was just one of those things where it's like, I always need to have it. I always need to have it. But I didn't realize that until I started to have these questions. Until I started to ask these questions within myself. I used to think I was someone who didn't care about those things, but you realize you're dealing with, like, the aftermath of that. It's like, I don't care about control, but here I am trying to control the situation. I don't care about certain decisions, but here I am trying to make sure my decision is the most impactful one. And I guess I realize how much I can get in my own way when it comes to that. And one thing is with projections, you know, when people project, I've tended to take that personal. I've done a great job. Again, I'll pat myself on the back for that, of not being in that space forever. I don't want that to be a character trait. But it's something I've really struggled with. And I'm fortunate to see the growth. It's taken a lot. It's taken a lot of self-reflection, a lot of inner work, a lot of counseling and therapy. But I've gotten to that place where ultimately I can see that someone is going through something. Understand that, as tough as that it is not my burden to bear their frustration. It's to understand their frustration. And also, you know, getting into this is, you got to let people kind of, like, live their lives, you know, live and have emotions. That's another thing, another aspect I would say. People have emotions. People are angry. They have the right to be mad. Shout out to Solange. They have a right to be happy. You know, they have a right to be sad, and you can't fix that. And I think another way of trying to control that is trying to fix that for people. And I've had that, like, where someone is angry and I immediately want to solve it, or they're sad and I immediately want to solve it. And it's like, while that isn't done with done out of maliciousness, it's not necessarily helpful for that person. Like, maybe the best thing they need to do in this moment is to feel those feelings so they can develop that conversation within themselves. You can't make that conversation happen. The same thing when you're, you know, whether you're raising a kid or just teaching someone something new, it's the onus is still on them to on how they receive the information. All you can do is just set the parameters as best as you can for it to be an easy process. So with control in that sense, it's like, I got to let people have more space to just kind of feel and just be like that. And especially for me, it's like I benefit a lot from if I'm angry, just let me be angry for like 5 minutes. I'll get over it. But trying to stop me from being angry is what makes me angrier. Trying to curb, you know, me being upset is what makes me more upset. And it's something that once I realized that I was doing that shit, I was like, okay, this definitely needs to be worked on. And that's where it's like, okay, now we're bringing it back. I'm assuming control in that moment. It's like, I need to stop trying to control shit. This is me assuming control. This is me actively pulling myself out of that tarish pit where I'm just sinking and sinking and sinking and not realizing that though I have good intentions, I'm actually being toxic, you know, or, you know, you don't have to say toxic, but just that you're being impractical and potentially detrimental to someone's overall being at some point. You know, maybe just for that moment, they needed someone to confide in, not someone who was going to solve all their things. You know, we talk about this with like venting, right? Some people just need to vent. It's not necessarily time to problem solve. They just want to vent. And I think men fall under this a lot. I think we can mean well, but we always want to like tell people what we think they should do. We're very observant at times. And though I'm non-binary, I still, you know, grew up as a man. So I have a lot of those things that I've grown out of that I still notice, you know, within, you know, other men groups, or things that are still within me that's like, okay, you know, I can't just shake this just because I've come into who I am now. And a lot of times it's like, you know, you just got to let people have that space to be. It's so I think once I the more I've come out, the more I've like really just stepped into just myself, my queerness, my sensuality, just myself as a person in general. I've learned a lot about who I was and who I am now and how important detachment has been. And detachment has been a valuable tool because it's been about like, how do I relinquish the stress I've been feeling? How do I eliminate the pain, you know, that I've been feeling? How do I eliminate maybe disappointment? How do I eliminate heartbreak? I have to stop trying to control outcomes and allow them to flow. So I feel like this is more about flow and control than just about flow or control. So I feel like that will be the topic of this episode. I thank you so much for listening. Again, these are short windows of time. This is a short one. I'm okay with it being a short one. I thank you so much for listening. This has been Day. You are listening to Entropy and Day. And until next time.